bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. One more time, I express my gratitude for this opportunity to be with you to discuss the Word of God. I welcome all those of you connecting to this program wherever you are around the world. Thank you very much for your interest in the Word of God. It is an interest that will pay spiritual dividends in this life, and if you're persistent, in the life to come. I particularly welcome our visitors, our non-Seventh-day Adventist guests. Wherever you are, your presence honors us, and we thank you for joining us, and I sincerely ask that God will superabundantly bless your lives. I particularly also pray for the little brothers and sisters who come so faithfully to listen to God's word. May the Lord bless you, take care of you, and always remember, whether you're 5 or 6, Jesus was your age, and he was a good child. And I'm sure you are also good children by the grace of this same Jesus. Yesterday I had three different appointments at different times, different time zones. That caused me some confusion. That's why I wasn't with you this morning. I'm very sorry about that. I particularly miss my little friend whom I get to greet, and that was the reason why I was not with you. I have so many requests, different time zones, different countries. This morning I was at the church in New York City, which was just my time, so that was no problem. Later on I have assignment for a church that's somewhere else around the corner, around the globe. But anyway, that's why I wasn't with you. So thank you for your patience, your forgiveness, my dear friends, and I hope that God will bless you superabundantly through this message today. Earlier today, I met with a church in New York City, largely, essentially a Nigerian church. We had a very, very blessed time, and I delivered a message for them. Now, I had a different message for you, but I spoke to the good Lord, as I always do, as to what I should say. That's why when people tell me, send a topic, I don't have one, because I'm still asking God, what should I say? And sometimes he only tells me when I'm standing in a pulpit or 5 minutes before I get on that pulpit. That's the way God works. And I cannot tell God when to give me a subject. I ask him. And I felt impressed that I should deliver the same message to you, perhaps slightly differently, but the same message with a different title. Before I proceed any further, let me ask you, please, while I'm speaking, pray for me. It's absolutely essential. You pray not only for me, but anytime you're listening to a preacher or a politician, anyone, ask God to be with your mind, to protect your mind ear from error, or to help you understand the truth. And so ask God to put his words in my mouth. That's based on Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. We see the working of divine and human. God's words are divine, my mouth human. The combination of the two has always been God's idea. Let us work together. So I want the divine word placed into my human lips made of dirt. The second favor I ask is that you think as you listen. Think as you listen to the message that's being delivered. I also ask that you, if possible, turn off your devices if you don't need them. But if you need them, make sure they do not ring. You don't need sound to listen to read the words of the Bible. Once again, thanks a lot for joining us, and let us bow our heads now and pray. Loving Father in heaven, we cannot come to you too often. Indeed, your word says, pray without ceasing, which means we must keep our minds always on you, no matter what we're doing or where we are. The verse doesn't say, kneel without ceasing. It says, pray without ceasing. We can adopt that attitude all during the day. So we come to you now to ask for your mercy and your favor. Of always, Lord, we must always ask for forgiveness, even if we're not aware of having done anything wrong. We must never assume we don't need forgiveness. If we've offended you, forgive us, we pray, and grant us more grace, dear God, to enable us to resist the things that cause us to fall. It is my heavy responsibility to present the words of life. And therefore, I ask you, Father, to possess me tightly. I want to be spirit possessed so that my organs of speech, my mind becomes the tools of the Spirit of God, so that I am out of the picture and it is literally the Spirit speaking through me. Father, bless those who are listening, dear God. Bless them with comprehension. Special blessing on the little children and a sweet blessing on all our guests who have joined us. I always pray for the nations represented by the listening audience, Father, the listening congregation, I should say, because this is a spiritual event. Bless those nations, bless the leaders, help them always to remember that righteousness exalteth a nation. It also exalts an individual who practices it. We commit this service to your glory, Father. Thanks again for the honor of serving you this way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go with me. Our subject is, why are you here? Why are you here? Matthew 25, we'll read from verse 31. Matthew 25, reading from verse 31. Why are you here? Matthew 25, reading from verse 31. And I read from the King James Version of the Bible. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Right now, Christ sits on the throne of grace. When probation closes, then will be ushered in with the coming of Christ, the throne of glory. Right now, Christ occupies the throne of grace. As long as sin still exists, the glory of God is affected in the sense that many people don't see him for who he is. Christ right now sits on the throne of grace. We are in the kingdom of grace because probation is still available to those who will listen to the Spirit's voice. When probation closes, when Christ comes back, he's coming back to inaugurate the kingdom of great of glory. So the Bible says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We'll pause on verse 34 of Matthew 25. Notice Jesus is referring to himself as the king. Because if you read the verse microscopically, notice what he says. The verse says, then shall the king, that's Jesus, say unto them, come ye blessed of my Father. So Jesus is the conquering king who comes back to take his faithful ones with him. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, and right is the side of power and victory, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Look at the word blessed. Come ye blessed of my Father. Why is anyone blessed? Why does the king say, come ye blessed of my Father? Revelation 22 verse 14 says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Psalm 119 verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. An obedient person is a blessed person. A person in whose heart the law of God is written is a blessed person. And so when the king says, come ye blessed of the Lord, he might well have said, come ye obedient of the Lord, come ye who have obeyed the law of God, of course, by the power of God. And so the king says, come ye blessed of my Father. The blessing proceeds from the Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you. We must look at the word inherit. Someone who inherits is an heir. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God, and if sons or children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. An heir is someone who inherits. The ones to whom Jesus says, come ye blessed of my Father, they will join Christ in inheriting all that is coming to Christ. They are joint heirs with Christ. And by the way, Christ will not receive what's coming to him until we are there with him to inherit with him. Because the Bible says we shall also reign with him. This is a tremendous privilege. And so we read verse 34 again, microscopically. Then the king shall say to them, come ye blessed of my Father. Even in the new world, Jesus refers to God as the Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you, arranged, set aside, put in order. When was this done? From the foundation of the world, even before the foundation of the world, you and I have been in the mind of God. And I must pause and let you digest that. Long before the world was made, before there was Adam and Eve and a Garden of Eden, we were in the mind of God, because God is infinite, he's omnipotent, he's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, he's outside of space, time, and matter. God is, it's impossible to fully comprehend God. How can we be in his mind from eternity past? We were. And so someone equal with God tells you and me, and we simply have to accept the plainly spoken word. The kingdom was prepared for us from the foundation of the world, which means, as I continue the message while you're here, God has had good intentions for us from eternity past. If a God prepares a kingdom for us, there is nothing painful in the kingdom, nothing harmful, nothing threatening. It is a kingdom of peace and grace and love and serenity, which means all the thoughts God has had of us before we existed were thoughts of peace and goodness and love and generosity and lavishness. This is the mind of God toward you, and that mind of God has not changed. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, James 1:17. So God has always had pleasant, favorable thoughts about us, even before we existed. And our subject is, why are you here? Let me pray again. Father, continue to speak through me, dear God, as I speak to those whom you love so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let us see what the king says to those on his left hand. Verse 41 of Matthew 25. Then shall he say also unto them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. We'll put the two verses next to each other, side by side. They're opposites. And we'll look at the features that are opposites. Jesus says in verse 34, come to the blessed or the obedient. The same person says to one group in verse 41, depart. He says to one group, come. To another, depart. Now, you may say, well, how can a good God say depart? We will look into that. To the first group, he says, come ye blessed of my Father. We have come and we have blessed. To the second group, he says, depart from me, ye cursed. We go back to verse 34. Come ye blessed of my Father. The opposite of that is, depart from me, ye cursed of my Father. The Father who pronounces the blessing also pronounces the curse. When God called Abraham in Genesis 12, reading from verse 1, the Bible says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. God is a God who blesses or curses, and each one is an act of righteousness, because God cannot do evil. Psalm 145, verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways, and one of God's ways is to curse where curses are required, where curses are earned. Blessings are never earned. Curses are earned. Blessings are bestowed, but curses are earned. The wages of sin is death. Sin has wages. The gift of God is eternal life. And so the God who says, come ye blessed of my Father, that's Jesus the King. He says in verse 41, depart from me cursed. In verse 34, come to the kingdom prepared for you. In verse 31, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Let's continue our microscopic look at those two words as we continue. Why are you here? The kingdom in verse 34 was prepared for human beings. Hellfire in verse 41 was prepared for the devil and his angels, not people. And I hope you're listening. I'm encouraging your children to listen. Listen to me again, well, not to me, but to the Bible. Verse 34, always read the Bible microscopically. If you don't, you miss so much. The kingdom that was in God's mind from eternity was prepared for people. Hellfire, he prepared for the devil and his angels, not for people. Which means, if someone ends up in hell, and many will, someone has a good reason to ask, why are you here? This was not prepared for you. Why are you here? This is for the devil and his angels. You are indeed what we call in our society a gatecrasher. If your friend has a wedding and does not invite you because you feel, well, I should have been invited, you show up, you're called a wedding crasher. There will be gate crashes in hell by the multiplied millions in a place not made for them. But by their lifestyle and their choices, they have gate crashed their way into hell in opposition to a God who prepared for them an eternity in his kingdom. And that preparation, that kingdom was prepared before that hell was prepared, because that was always in God's mind. Hell was prepared after the devil rebelled. I'm trying to tell you something about God. God is a good God. He is a nice God. He is a loving God. The Bible says in John 15:26, and these things coming to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Well, the Bible is saying no one ever has a good reason to be angry with God. Almost all of us do. But we cannot identify a good reason for anger towards God. Why? Because God is good. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. A God of truth and without iniquity. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4. The Bible says we have no good reason to be angry with God. None. Why is that so? Because we're dealing with a God who from eternity had our best interests in mind even before we were made. He arranged that if sin would come, he would prepare a way for us to enter his kingdom and reign with him. An honor not even granted to angels. When God prepared hell for the devil and his angels, it was not prepared for us. I say again, the kingdom in verse 34 was prepared for human beings. Hellfire in verse 41 of Matthew 25 was prepared for the devil and his angels. Any human being, and there will be many, it's a tragic thing to say, who ends up in hell will be in a place where he should not be. It was not prepared for him, and some heavenly being has a right to say, why are you here? Even the devil may ask, why are you here? Because the devil knows God very well, and he knows God is a loving God. He knows God has put in place everything for your salvation, and he knows anyone in hell with him would have resisted God and resisted God and resisted God, just will not listen, and they force their way into hell. And Satan may say, why are you here? This was prepared for me and my angels. My brothers and sisters, we serve a merciful God, a long-suffering God who has never had an evil thought about anyone. The Bible tells us that. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you an expected end, a bright future, a blessed outcome. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. God does not think evil. When he was arranging the kingdom with us in mind, that was a thought of peace and love. When he arranged the everlasting fire for the devil and his angel, that was also a thought of mercy, because a sinner would be absolutely miserable in a sinless environment. You've heard the expression, mercy killing. Put him out of his misery, unplug the machine on which he's surviving, because he's suffering too much. And some people ask to be put out of their misery. A sinner in hell will be asked to be killed because he could not take that intense and concentrated righteousness. Destruction of sinners is an act of mercy from God. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Speaking of charity, which is love, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. There are some who believe that God has forgotten them. God doesn't care. He blesses person X and ignores me. He blesses person Y and ignores me. He gives this person a house and leaves me on the street. Gives that woman a husband and leaves me lonely. Gives this person a job and leaves me on the dole. There are people who view God that way. God has no evil thoughts toward anyone. God's dealing with you, actually, is very individual. Listen to what Ellen White writes in Steps to Christ, page 100, paragraph 1. The relations between Christ and each soul, or between God and each soul, as distinct as if there were not another soul upon the earth to share his much care, not another soul for whom he gave his beloved son. What does she mean by that? When God deals with you, when God listens to you, he listens, he responds as if no one else is trying to get his attention. That's individual. That's personal. That's not a God who has evil thoughts about you. He cannot have that. We see this in the parable of the lost sheep. Luke 15 from verse 3 onward. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost until he find it? So when he finds it, it is just the shepherd and the sheep. Personal. He could have brought the 99 with him, but he leaves them. That's not their business. He finds that sheep. He and the sheep reconcile. Then he brings the sheep back to the fold. Just the shepherd and the sheep. Personal, private, individual attention. This is how God deals with you. Whether you're unemployed, homeless, sick, broke, uneducated, despised by your family, when you pray to God, God listens as if you're the only one on earth or in the universe trying to get his attention. And so she writes, the relations between God and each soul are as distinct and full as though there were not another soul upon the earth to share his watch care, not another soul for whom he gave his beloved son. This is the merciful God. God has prepared a place in his kingdom for you. Yes, you, listening to me, don't look around. God has prepared a place in his kingdom for you. He has prepared no place in the fires of hell for you. No place at all. That's for the devil and his angels. And this message won't be long, which leads me to make this very startling and shocking statement. You have no right to go to hell. You have the freedom to go. You have no right to be in hell because it was not prepared for you. You have a right to go to heaven. In Jesus Christ, you have a right to go to heaven. Why give up the right to the kingdom of God to exercise a right you were not given? Why do I say you have a right to go to heaven? Revelation 22, verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life. Where is that? In the kingdom of God. And may enter in through the gates, into the city. Before Adam sinned, he had the right given to him by God. I must say that. All our blessed rights are given to us by God. Before Adam sinned, he had a right to the tree of life. He had a right to any place on this created earth. So did Eve. And so should we, had Adam not sinned and we had been born sinless. Because of sin or disobedience, they lost that right. The function of the plan of salvation is to restore that right. It's to restore things to the way they were before sin ruined everything. And I must say, it wasn't God who sinned. We always blame God. You know, in the legal system, there's an expression called acts of God. It doesn't mean grace, sanctification, justification, glory. No, it means floods, wars, earthquakes, tsunamis, you name it. Those are acts of God. But those are not acts of God, those are acts of the devil. God has given us a right to the tree of life. That is an act of God. God sent his son to die to provide a way of forgiveness. That is an act of God. God gives us the Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds and guide us and help us resist temptation. That is an act of God. God sends mighty angels to protect us from a thousand different dangers. That is an act of God. God deals with our enemies and removes them from our path. That is an act of God. We're told in Psalm 105, verse 14, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. He rebuked a nation for one man. That is an act of God. Going to hell is not an act of God. It's a choice of man. Why choose it? Here is the kingdom of God prepared for you. Your name is on the door of a palace or a house. House or a cottage in it, somewhere in the country in heaven, in the new world. Your name is on it. There is no compartment in hell with your name on it that God put there. Why put your name there? Why go where you don't belong? And ignore the place prepared for you by a loving God. Let me say again, you have no right to go to hell. You have a right to go to heaven. That's right, is in Christ. And so the king says, your savior, imagine he's talking to you. Come ye blessed of my father. Inherit the kingdom. And an inheritance is a legal transaction. It has to do with the will and what's in the will for a person. It is a legal transaction, the act of inheriting. You have to show you're an heir and you qualify to inherit all the wealth of whomever leaves the thing for you. In Christ, we have a legal right to whatever is given to us. I said in Christ. In Christ, we have a right to heaven that the angels cannot contest, not even Satan. In Christ, we have a right to the tree of life. And in Christ, we have a right to sit next to him on his throne of rulership because we shall reign with him. In Christ, we have those rights. Let me say the verse again. Come ye blessed of my father. Let me pause. When that word is spoken, will you be among them? The choice is yours. Or will the devil say to you, why are you here? Why are you here? This was made for me and my angels. Why are you here? Jesus will say, why are you not here? I gave you a right to the kingdom. I prepared it for you. Verse 41, Matthew 25. Depart from me, ye cursed. What is a cursed person? A disobedient person. The same way Revelation 22:14 says, blessed are they that do his commandments. Psalm 119, verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. They are blessed. The same way an obedient person is blessed. Turn that around. Use your common sense. A disobedient person is cursed. Listen to Paul in Galatians 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Cursed is everyone that continueth not. That means disobeys, does not obey. That person is cursed. Ephesians 5 verse 6. The wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. So when the king says in Matthew 25:41, depart from me, cursed. He could very well say with equal accuracy, depart from me, ye disobedient. Depart from me, ye rebellious. As he can verily say in verse 34, come ye obedient. Come ye cooperative. Come ye blessed of my father. And the father that pronounces the blessing in Matthew 25:34 is the father who pronounces the curse in Matthew 25:41. But I have good news regarding the curse. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. The curse pronounced in Matthew 25:41 was placed on Christ, on the cross, by the Father. Let me say it again. I'll say differently. In the plan of salvation, the curse of the law for the disobedient was placed on Jesus. He was made a curse for us. When we accept that, we escape from the pronunciation or the pronouncement in verse 41 of Matthew 25, depart from me cursed, because the curse was put on Christ. But he came back from the dead and has made a way for you and me to hear the words, come ye blessed, not depart from me cursed. That young man listening to me who will not listen to his parents, no matter what they say or how much they pray, if you continue that way, you are down a path to a place not prepared for you. You are walking away from a kingdom of happiness to a place not prepared for you, but where you must go if you continue this path of rebellion. That young lady listening to me who thinks she knows everything, and her parents can tell her nothing, the church can tell her nothing. Well, if the church will not tell you anything because you won't listen, the devil will tell you everything. Or whatever he tells you, we'll take in that downward direction. There's no need for that. Turn back. Turn around. There is a spirit pursuing you. The footsteps you hear behind you are not the footsteps of your parent chasing you. They are the footsteps of the Spirit of God desperately trying to reach you. You are heading in the wrong direction to a place prepared for the devil. And if you end up in a place prepared for the devil, then clearly in a very practical way, you have become yourself a devil. Because only devils will be in the flames. Those who once were angels, and those human beings who chose to live like devils by opposing God. Why do I say that? You may say that's a harsh thing to say. Listen to Jesus in John 6:70. Here's what he says. Have I not chosen you 12? One of you is a devil. Judas, because he opposed Christ. He was plotting against Christ. He was with him physically. There are many people in the church, but they work against God. You know, Elolite writes in the Desire of Ages, page 535, paragraph 1, whenever the Lord is about to do a work, Satan moves on someone to object. That's the Satan's instrument, you see. It's all over the church. I am saying anyone who ends up in hell will practically be a little devil. Because you're where the devils are, you're getting the punishment originally intended for devils. Then you must be viewed like a devil. Ah, but for those who listen and obey, you will hear, come ye blessed. And you will enjoy a privilege that places you above angels who have never fallen. Let me say that again. For those who obey through the power of Christ, we will eventually occupy positions and enjoy privileges that place us above angels that have never sinned. The choice is yours. You have no right to go to hell. You have every right in Christ to go to heaven. Which one do you choose? Choose the right that exists in Christ for you. Give your life to him so that when he comes, he won't say, why are you here? He will say, ah, I have been waiting with great anticipation to receive you. Come. If you choose to rebel, live a life of disobedience to God, you may hear the devil say, why are you here with us? This was not made for you. Because even sometimes the devil says words that are accurate. He doesn't speak saving truth, but he makes some statements that are accurate. And that will be accurate. But that time will be too late for a change to be made. Our subject, why are you here? My brothers and sisters, let that not be the sound you hear when Christ comes. Here is what you must strive for by Christ through his grace. To hear these words, come ye blessed of my Father. Come ye obedient. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from way back before you existed, because I've always had pleasant thoughts of you. Don't hear these words, depart from me, cursed. Who had a chance to enter the kingdom, ye cursed. These words are not spoken to the devil and his angels. They've already heard that. These words are spoken to people for whom God did not prepare hell, but they chose hell, and God has to respect choice. Do not hear the words, depart from me, ye cursed. Into everlasting fire. May the Lord touch your heart, my listening friend, young and old and in between, to choose life. Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. You have right to life because God set it for you, but you have to choose it. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Do not choose death. Do not go to that place where the devil will say, why are you here? It was not prepared for you. Don't get hash your way to hell just by being rebellious. Accept the love of God. Follow his will. Follow his way. Obey him through the power of his spirit. And one day, and I'm finished now, you and I will hear the blessed words from the musical voice of Jesus. Come ye blessed from Slough, and all those are part of this program. Come all of you, blessed of my Father. Come into the kingdom that we have prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that, God, the choices are so clear. Heaven or hell. Sheep or goats, wheat or tares. Please, God, give us the divine common sense to choose Matthew 25:34. Come, ye blessed of my Father, ye obedient of my Father, come. Let this be our ambition in Christ, dear God. Let us live for that, the day when we will be one with our Savior. Fill our hearts with aversion for the things of hell, God, and avoidance that is constant, so that none of us will ever hear the words, why are you here, spoken by the enemy. Give us a love for spiritual things. Remove from us, Father, particularly the youth, a love for the world, the fascination the world has for them. Remove it, hey God, the way a detergent removes a stain, but that removal is done through the word. Bless all those who heard. Bless all the hosting organizations. A double blessing on our guests. A special blessing on all the little children. Keep us under your wings, dear God. And save us when you come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright. All rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.